Now broadcasting in English.
Hello and welcome to this weekend edition of Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Sarah Borufka. Many thanks to you for tuning in. In today's program, we take another look at the everyday life of Czechs in Czech life. Then we read the mail with Pavla Horáková in Mailbox. And after that, another trip through the Czech radio archive with David Vaughan. I hope you'll be staying with us. First off, Czech life. A legacy of the communists' fascination with the prefabricated building method, paneláky, or tower block buildings, to this day can be found across the Czech Republic, often in prominent and elevated places, towering over cities and towns. After all, they were considered the height of architectural and technological progress during communism. In Western countries, tower block estates often come with a social stigma and mostly provide housing for economically disadvantaged families. Not so in the Czech Republic, where a large portion of the population still live in such buildings, and therefore it is considered a relatively standard, if not ideal, way of living. But what does life inside a panelák flat look like nowadays, some 40 years after the first ones were built?
This is our bathroom. Don't get horrified too much. As I said, it's obsolete.
Radka Slavátová is a student and young mother. She lives in a panelák building in Prague's Krč neighborhood with her husband and her 1.5-year-old daughter. Most of the interior of their flat, which her mother owns, has remained unchanged since it was built in 1967.
This is actually the way it looked when it was new. Nothing was changed in here. You can see the basin is over the bath, which is not very useful. And it's also very small, and the walls are made of that plastic material.
When I visited the young family, Radka was nice enough to give me a tour of her flat, and she pointed out some of the everyday nuisances that are part of panelák life.
In fact, this flat, the walls, I mean the classical walls, are just... just around, and the inside walls are just some kind of plastic, so it's quite thin and you can hear everything through these walls. And this is what it looked like when it was built.
Okay.
It's like it's not wall at all, it's just a, yeah.
So I guess within the flat, given that you're a family, it doesn't really matter. What about the walls between you and your neighbors? Has it gotten better? Have they changed maybe something? Or
not the inside walls, but well, there's trouble with these houses. When they build it, they thought that it would last, for example, like 30 years or something. But now it's slowly falling apart, and the people who live here have to rebuild it, actually.
Themselves,
yeah, because it's actually, yeah, it's falling apart.
Aside from being in desperate need of a makeover, Radka's flat has some other, more fundamental shortcomings.
Yeah, there's another thing. It's quite warm in here, because there are these heating pipes over there, it's not warm now, but in winter it's always very hot, so we have to open our windows in winter, because it's very hot in here, and it's not very spacious, the flat. So these are the major disadvantages.
Could we take a look around how spacious it is?
This used to be a bedroom, but we made a study from it. So I work here and I study here, but it's quite small. It was difficult to fit all the books in here and the computer, and I think it's just fit for a study. It's really small.
But while modern needs have outgrown what a Panelag flat can offer, at one point these apartments were considered state-of-the-art living. Martin Lux is a sociologist whose research focuses on housing.
They started to be built in the 1960s, and they were not built as social housing, and this is a very important contextual difference. They were built for all strata of society, including professors from the universities as well as people who were working in factories. They were built as public rental housing originally, but not as a social housing, so they were designed for everyone in the society. And what is also, I think, important in that time, it was in some way a technological advance building because of very bad maintenance of pre-war housing during the communism. So movement to prefab housing was in some way perceived as advantageous in that time because it offered the inhabitants central heating, it offered them lifts, relatively bright rooms, balconies, so something that was not in pre-war buildings in that time. That's why it was attractive.
Jitka Heitmanová, who now lives in the center of Prague in an apartment in a pre-war brick building, remembers moving into a new Panelag flat with her parents when she was a child in Louny, a small city about an hour away from Prague.
The experience moving to the completely new built Panelag was just excellent. We were happy at that moment. My parents were... When they were offered to move to the newly built block of flats, they were just happy because the Panelag meant at that moment something like luxury. Everybody simply loved it, and many people wanted to live in Panelag because there was that central heating, warm water, elevator and the other features people simply loved. So at that moment it was really... And the flat was very large. It was 80 square meters, and we were just three people, so it was just excellent.
Břetislav Svoboda, a Prague resident who also grew up in a prefab apartment block, says he too was happy to move in as a child.
It was fun at first, because our Panelag people were moving in within 1 month, because it was brand new, and within a month it was full. We moved into Panelags when I was 8 years old. We were one of the first in that part of town. And then just people started moving in, a lot of families with young kids. So we instantly made friends. I'm from a big family. I have four brothers. So there were a lot of kids because it was families moving in from different regions of Czech Republic seeking work. So they got the flats in Prague and it was in Panelags.
Radka says the biggest advantage to living in a Panelag is that everything you need tends to be close by.
What I like about this, about living here, is the place. Because the metro station is quite close, it's like 6 minutes walk. There are many shops around here, and there are kindergartens and schools all around, doctors. So I'm quite satisfied with this.
Of course, not all of the many Panelags were exactly the same. A tenant's experience may have been different depending on how many families lived in their building, or if it was one of a few tower block buildings, or part of a massive cluster of Panelags, such as the huge grey estates on the outskirts of Prague. Having grown up in different types of tower block buildings, Radka, Bedřich and Jitka nonetheless were all quick to mention one characteristic that they found particularly problematic.
There are huge disadvantages living in these buildings. For example, the noise. You can hear almost everything your neighbors are doing. We have a neighbor who lives a floor below us, and she is almost deaf. And it took us about half a year to persuade her to buy headphones because we could hear everything when she was listening to the radio or when she was watching the TV. We could even understand the program she was watching. So it's a huge disadvantage of these buildings that you can hear everything.
Everyday life in Panelag, well, it was all about noise. The weirdest things were sound of people arguing, you know, like somebody would be sitting on the toilet, and because the toilets were, you know, all the same within the whole building, you could hear somebody on the 11th floor arguing with their wife or husband from the toilet.
especially the bathroom and toilet, the walls in between the bathroom and toilets were no walls. It was kind of paper. And so when our neighbor was flushing the toilet, we heard it. Everything was just clear to understand, even the discussions they had or arguments. I kind of understood the topic of the argument.
There has been a shift in the demographics of Panelag's tenants, says sociologist Martin Lux.
But it was not so quick and was not so rapid as it was expected when there was a revolution after 1989. The short-term prospects or estimates in that time were that very soon housing estates will become residualized type of housing, like for very low-income households only. This didn't happen. However, there were some shifts, and these shifts were mainly that there are not so many families with children now who prefer more suburban family house or detached housing. They lose young generation a bit. The young generation lives there, but only on temporal basis, using as a rental housing as a first housing, and after that they moved to better housing, like from new housing construction, or they built their own family houses.
Radka and her husband, too, are looking to move to a detached house in a village near Prague soon.
We've already bought a house near Prague, so in autumn we are going to move out. I'm quite happy about living in a house, so I'm looking forward to it. But on the other hand, as I mentioned before, it has advantages to live here because everything is quite close. And when you have children, it's ideal.
Jitka, who has already moved on from her Panelag life, says she has never looked back.
I would never live in Panelag in Prague. That's the option I never count on. I luckily live in a nice place, and it's old building built in 1904, so the walls are thick, 60 centimeters thick walls, and I cannot hear anything. I would never choose Panelag for me to live.
This edition of Czech Life was first broadcast in May 2010. Now it is time for our popular program Mailbox, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's Mailbox, a show which gives you, the listeners and readers, a chance to voice your comments and ask questions regarding our programs and life in the Czech Republic in general. Earlier this month, Radio Prague reported on three newborns who were left at different baby boxes around the country within less than a week. The monitored facilities have already saved 53 unwanted children since being introduced in the Czech Republic several years ago. Recently, baby boxes came under criticism from the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child, which says they violate several provisions of the UN Convention. Linda Marie Hauptmann from the United States responded to the story.
Why is the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child condemning the so-called baby boxes? How do these violate the rights of the children who have been placed in them? While it is true that the children would be with their birth parents and know their families and their heritage, wouldn't it be so much worse for them if poor, desperate, or even possibly mentally unstable parents abandoned them where they could not be found in time to save their lives? The baby boxes might not be the best solution to the problem of a child that is unwanted for whatever reason, but at least it is better than the tragedy of finding a murdered child in the trash.
What do you think about the controversial issue? Please let us know at english@radio.cz or leave us a comment on our Facebook page. On a lighter topic, Jyoti Vosoba comments on an interview with food writer Petra Pospěchová.
I enjoyed Sara Borůvka's article on Petra Pospěchová. Many of us in the US, especially we of Czech descent, are interested in Czech food and Czech recipes.
And Siegfried Rambaum comments on the same story via Facebook.
A great report, one that actually made me want to read one of Petra Pospěchová's articles. With the help of online translation sites like Transtar, it is not too hard.
David Eldridge from the United Kingdom made this comment on a recent news report.
In your news item on Czech soldiers in Kosovo on the 30th of June 2011, I think your reference to Kosovo being a state is incorrect. It isn't a state, it is a NATO protectorate. It is true that NATO tries to present Kosovo as a state, but in reality it is ruled by imperialists of the United States, Britain, France, Germany, Italy and others, working through the organization NATO. NATO is determined to rule Kosovo, not only for its strategic location, but because it has rich reserves of lead, zinc, cadmium, silver and gold, as well as a significant oil reserve. NATO imperialists are not going to let themselves be outmaneuvered into losing control over those assets without a fight.
Radio Prague's recently introduced program, The Sunday Music Show, is becoming more and more popular, judging from the feedback we are getting. Siegfried Rambaum writes,
"Nice to have another feature about Xindel X. I first encountered his music in one sequel of Soundcheck."
Linda Murray Hopman responds to a different edition.
"Thank you for making the information on Mrs. Kubishova available, as well as playing clips of her music. She is a fantastic performer with a lovely voice. I hope you decide to broadcast more of her performances in the future."
Thank you very much for your comments, and please keep them coming. You can also take part in our monthly listeners' quiz, and if you send us the correct answer, you may win a Radio Prague prize. This month we are looking for the name of a Prague-born novelist who left the country at the age of 22 and moved to England in 1938. She later lived in India, France, Switzerland and other European countries and died in Italy in 2006, having published a number of novels and a travel book. Please send us her name to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague, Czech Republic by the end of July. In the first August edition of Mailbox, we will announce the lucky winner. Thanks for listening today and take care.
Thanks for this, Pavla. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Sarah Borůvka. And now David Vaughan will take us on another trip through the archives of Czech radio in this edition from the archives.
During the wartime occupation, German language broadcasts from Prague were absorbed into the radio network of Nazi Germany, the so-called Reichssender. A number of archive recordings in German survive from this time. Most vivid and chilling among them are the long lists of names broadcast each day of Czechs arrested and executed. But there are also some propaganda curiosities. In June 1941, Prague's German program interviewed a nurse. She was living and working in the city and remembered with great nostalgia one particular patient who had come into her care. This is how the broadcast began.
Oberschwester Anna, die Frau, die 1918, den Gast...
Ward Sister Anna is the nurse who in 1918 in the Pasewalk Field Hospital looked after a lance corporal who had been wounded and blinded by gas. Her patient was Adolf Hitler.
Von Erlebnissen mit Adolf Hitler.
The announcer utters the Führer's name in a tone of deepest reverence, and then Ward Sister Anna goes on to recall her memories with an evident sense of deep pride.
1918, am 10. 10.
On the 7th of October 1918, I had to bring a transport with wounded soldiers from France to Pasewalk. One of them was Lance Corporal Adolf Hitler. On the train, my thoughts were with him in particular. As often as I could, I sat by his bed because his words about his comrades always brought comfort. He once said, "A new Germany must awaken." His observation when we said farewell and he left the field hospital was, "Even though at the moment I'm unable to see, I shall struggle to see within."
Wenn ich augenblicklich auch nicht sehe, werde ich kämpfen, dass ich innerlich sehen werde.
As a God-fearing Christian, Ward's sister Anna is clearly a little bothered by the idea that Adolf Hitler might be anything less than a good Christian himself. Her tone becomes increasingly grotesque.
Ich möchte gleichzeitig hinzufügen, dass es unwahr ist, wenn so oft gesagt wird.
I want to add that it's not true what people so often say about our Führer, that he has no faith. He is one of God's chosen ones. On the belt buckle of each soldier I see the words, God with us. If back then someone had said to me that Lance Corporal Adolf Hitler would one day become the Führer of a nation of 80 million, I might well have laughed. But you could tell from his character that this soldier was something special. There has never been anything like it in the history of the world.
So etwas war in der Weltgeschichte noch nicht da gewesen.
She ends by describing a letter she wrote some years later that reminds us of the hypnotic power that Hitler must have held over so many people at the time.
1935 schrieb ich zum ersten Mal an meinen geliebten Führer.
In 1935 I wrote to my beloved Führer for the first time. I must get this off my chest. My Führer, I could be your mother. How good it would be if a dear mother's hand could run lovingly through your hair, because sometimes you seem so alone with all your worries and work. But no, my Führer, you are not alone. God and your whole nation love you.
That was David Vaughan with From the Archives, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. If you'd like to listen again or recommend the program to others, we're always there for you on the internet. Simply turn to radio.cz, and we also answer your questions and comments. This is part of our work here. We'll be happy to hear from you at our email address, english@radio.cz, or on Facebook, Twitter, under Radio Prague, or of course you can write a good old-fashioned letter to us at Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. From me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.
Vous écoutez Radio Prague.